Ukraine's military sinks a Russian submarine and gets long-awaited U.S.-made F-16 fighter jets.
Kiev has long lobbied for the F-16s due to their destructive power and global availability. It currently has an aging fleet of Soviet-era warplanes.
Plus, a Ukrainian claims Olympic gold in the women's high jump.
It's very important to show all over the world Ukrainian resilience, the Ukrainian will to win.
And later in the program, we hear from a young Ukrainian student on the struggle to adapt after fleeing to safety in the United States.
I would want to let everybody know that in Ukraine, it's not getting better, it's getting worse.
Today is Monday, August 5th. From the Voice of America, this is Flashpoint Ukraine. Good evening, I'm Lori London. After more than 29 months since Russia's invasion, Ukrainian pilots are now flying F-16 fighter jets put on display Sunday by President Volodymyr Zelensky, who said the planes will boost the country's war effort against Russia. Our coverage begins with Arthi Tayaparin with Reuters.
Jets are in our sky, and officially today you see them. And it's good that they came and we can use them.
Ukrainian pilots will now be flying in U.S.-made F-16s for operations within the country, said President Volodymyr Zelensky on Sunday. The long-awaited fighter jets arrived more than 29 months after Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Zelensky said, however, the country still did not have enough jets or pilots. But he noted many soldiers are now undergoing training. It remains unclear how many jets Ukraine received and how much impact they will have on the battlefield. Kiev has long lobbied for the F-16s due to their destructive power and global availability. It currently has an aging fleet of Soviet-era warplanes.
We had hundreds of meetings and talks to strengthen the capabilities of our aviation, to strengthen the capabilities of our air defense system, of our defense forces. We often heard it is impossible as an answer, but we still made our ambition, our defensive need possible. Now this is reality, reality in our skies. F-16s are in Ukraine.
The new jets come equipped with a 20-millimeter cannon and can carry bombs, rockets, and missiles. Russia has been targeting bases that may house the F-16s and vowed to shoot them down.
Arthi Tayaparin with Reuters reporting. The arrival of F-16 fighter jets, along with other weekend successes, were welcome news for war-weary Ukrainians. Anna Chernikova in Kyiv joins us now for reaction.
How are Ukrainians feeling about this? Are they feeling more encouraged?
So over the weekend, the first footage of F-16s was actually out, and everyone have seen them in action during the presentation of the footage. And of course, people in Ukraine were waiting for this for a very long time, and all talks for the past months was about F-16s, and that when F-16 arrived, this would be a big changer at the front line in the war. So people in Ukraine really have this hope that F-16 could be a really big game changer. However, a lot of experts explained to the society that, well, this is definitely a huge advantage and a very great news for Ukraine. However, people should not expect everything to change very fast and to change dramatically. And I think that this understanding is coming. So people, of course, are really happy, but at the same time are trying to keep emotions down because, as we already have seen, that neither tanks that came to Ukraine nor other equipment that was also a long-awaited equipment did not really change dramatically the things, but of course gave Ukraine additional strength. And this is what F-16 will definitely do as well. And Ukrainians hope this would be a really great combination of F-16 and other equipment that is coming to Ukraine.
And they've had some success in the last few days. with their own assaults on Russia. Sounds like at least a Russian warplane and an ammunition storage facility is destroyed.
Actually, over the weekend, it was quite a successful, quite a number of successful news coming in. And one of those is that Ukrainian general staff confirmed that confirmed the attack on Morozovsk airfield in the Rostov region in Russia. And Ukrainian military reported that the ammunition warehouse was destroyed, and one of the Su-34 jets that were located there was possibly also heavily damaged. So more information and more details are still coming, and we're still waiting for the confirmation. We cannot verify this independently, but according to footage which is available, the destructions are quite significant. And also over the weekend, Ukrainian general staff confirmed the destruction of Russian submarine and also heavy damage of couple of C-400 air defense systems in Sevastopol. So over the weekend, Ukrainian forces were quite active, and even confirmation from general staff came right after the operations were implemented.
So they destroyed a submarine. That seems like a
yes.
pretty big deal.
Yeah, it's a huge actually. But again, not much details available, but it is confirmed that it is destroyed.
And some good news for Ukraine when it comes to the Olympics.
Yes, and also over the weekend, some great news for Ukraine from Paris, from the Olympics. Ukrainian high jumper Yaroslava Mahuchik, who actually had to flee her hometown, Dnipro, which is currently 100 kilometers from the front line. She had to flee when Russian full-scale invasions began. She won a gold medal in Paris, and she also held a world record in high jumping. And on Sunday, she won gold medal. And also Irina Heraschenko, another athlete, she won bronze in the same discipline. And also in total, Ukrainians actually won 3 medals over the weekend. And this is, for Ukraine, is really a great success.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It certainly shows the strength of Ukrainians to carry on and win. And I'm sure that this is so good to have some good news, something to celebrate.
Yeah, it's extremely important. It's much, it's much more important medals than previous Olympics, because of course, for Ukrainian nation going through full scale war and having such good news, such champions who and Ukrainian anthem and Ukrainian flag rising at the Olympics is extremely important and gives a lot of courage.
All right. Well, Anna Chernikova, coming to us from Kyiv. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Laurie.
As Russian forces continue to target Ukraine's energy grid, solar panels, battery stations, and generators have become allies for Ukrainian homeowners as they start preparing for yet another winter of Russian attacks on their nation's power grid. Leja Bakalets reports from Kyiv.
Alina Beskrovna lives in the City of Flowers residential complex in Kyiv, Ukraine. She says it is comfortable except when huge power outages occur. Beskrovna says she lives on the 12th floor and elevators don't work. It is also impossible to prepare food because her stove is electric. Record heat and Russia's constant shelling the energy infrastructure made July extremely tough for Ukrainians. Power outages happen daily, but many fear the worst will come when winter arrives. Максим Петренко, chairman of the Kyiv Association of Condominiums and Housing Cooperatives, says Russian attacks almost destroyed the energy maneuvering capabilities, so it could be no electricity for 16 to 18 hours a day. For multi-story residential buildings, it means total disaster. The pumps that deliver water and heat depend on electricity. Beskrovna says the residents of her building bought inverter generators and batteries at their own cost. They charge when there is electricity and power essential equipment during outages. These batteries will provide 4 hours of work without electricity. As in many cities worldwide turning to renewable energy sources, Kyiv supports residents who want to make their homes more energy self-sufficient. Maxim Petrenko says in Kyiv there is a program called 70 for 30. The residents' contribution is 30% of the total volume of the project, and the city gives another 70%. Stanislav Donsov, the head of another condominium in Kyiv, took part in this program and got financing for solar panels set on the building's roof. Donsov says 36 solar panels will be set up and will help homes save on electricity bills. Residents also have an alternative generation source to power pumps for cold and hot water, lighting in the basement, and video surveillance. Residents bought and set up the first part of the solar plant last year. So even without electricity, they have heat, water, and internet. Donsov shows us the control panel and explains that right now there is a 2.8 kilowatt supply. He says the sun provides 2.6 kilowatts, the difference of 320 watts they take from batteries. So he says they are self-sufficient now and don't take anything from the general power grid. There are about 18,000 residential buildings in Kyiv. Only 400 are making winter preparations, but Petrenko says the number is growing. Lesya Bakalets, VOA News, Kyiv.
Eight Russian prisoners returned home to Moscow last Thursday in the biggest east-west prisoner swap since the Cold War that also freed American citizens, journalists, and Russian dissidents. Among the returnees to Russia were a convicted killer and a family of Russian sleeper agents so deep undercover that their children found out they were Russians only after the flight took off. Sean Hogan with Reuters has the story.
Met by President Vladimir Putin as they touched down, the children knew no Russian and were greeted in Spanish, according to a Kremlin spokesperson. The Dultsevs, a husband and wife, were convicted in a Slovenian court of pretending to be Argentinians in order to spy. While in jail, they were given restricted access to their children and feared they could lose their parental rights, the spokesperson Dmitry Peskov said. The group, upon arrival, were congratulated by Putin, and those in the military service were told they would be nominated for state awards. One of the first off the plane on Thursday was Vadim Krasikov, a hitman released by Germany and an employee of Russia's FSB security service. He was convicted by a German court of killing a former Chechen militant in a Berlin park in 2019. His release will be seen as a win for Moscow, which prides itself on bringing home intelligence operatives arrested abroad. But Germans spoken to by Reuters in Berlin felt mixed about the trade.
To be honest, I find it a pity that Germany engaged in this, releasing a killer who is then celebrated as a hero in another country.
The swap involved 24 prisoners, with 16 moving from Russia to the West and 8 prisoners held in the West being sent back to Russia. Although Moscow released more prisoners than it received, it was portrayed by Russian authorities as a victory and appeared to go down well on the streets.
The president agreed for such an exchange. That means he was sure it was right. So I trust the president and agree with his opinion.
The multi-country deal appeared to be a one-time exchange that does not reset the antagonistic US-Russia relationship, which has deteriorated sharply since Russia's 2022 invasion of Ukraine.
Sean Hogan with Reuters reporting. You're listening to VOA's Flashpoint Ukraine. I'm Lori London. Ukrainians in Paris celebrated Sunday as they watched Yaroslava Mahutchev, who fled her home in Dnipro after Russia's invasion of Ukraine in 2022, claimed Olympic gold in the women's high jump. She did so just weeks after breaking a world record that had stood since 1987 with a leap of 2.10 meters.
I feel that I'm ambassador, not only like me, like high jumper, but for all Ukrainian people from Ukraine. And I show that We continue fighting and we'll never give up.
The war in Ukraine has killed hundreds of the country's most promising athletes. But that hasn't stopped Kyiv from sending a 140-member Olympic team to the Paris Games. Some athletes have been directly caught up in the conflict. Others watch and worry from outside their homeland. Lisa Bryant has more from the French capital.
For Ukrainians here in Paris, the Olympics are a very different battlefield. Matvey Bidny is Ukraine's acting sports minister.
It's very important. It's very important to show over the world Ukrainian resilience, Ukrainian will to win.
Even here at the country's Olympic Pavilion in northeastern Paris, it's hard to forget Russia's war in Ukraine.
A lot of sports facilities damaged, more than 520 sports facilities damaged or destroyed, totally destroyed. What's more important, even more important, the mental mood, yeah, mental condition of our athletes. When you always under the threat and your loved one always under the threat on shelling attack, on killing, on occupation.
Minister Bidny says more than 3,000 athletes and trainers have taken up weapons. Nearly 500 have died in the war against Russia. Others have family on the front lines.
My father defended our country. I really want see my father because 2 years I didn't see my father, so it's really hard to live in war. But I'm always pray for this war ends soon.
Badminton player Polina Borova lives and trains in Italy, but Ukraine isn't far from her mind.
It's always very hard mentally to prepare, to understand, to accept, and to go and fight, because especially when you go on court, you want to show the best for Ukraine, you want to make country proud, you want to make people proud of you.
Politicians, but also fans from all over are coming here to support Ukraine's athletes.
I'm very happy to be in this place and see how they also carry the message and the two-sided message to be part of the world community while still fighting on behalf of world community. Ukraine is fighting.
Ukraine's team has already won Olympic medals here, giving Ukrainians back home something to cheer about. Lisa Bryant, VOA News, Paris.
Imagine growing up in a peaceful democracy, just finishing high school and preparing for college when everything changes. Your future is uncertain as your country is now in a brutal war for its very existence due to a violent Russian invasion. I spoke with one such young woman. 2 years ago, Anna from the Rivne region in northern Ukraine escaped to the U.S. by herself when she was just 21. Through an interpreter, Anna spoke of the painful decision to leave her family and the support she received through Hope for Ukraine's Summer of Hope, a 5-day summer camp that provides a sense of normalcy and joy amid challenging times.
I was at my sister's house at 7 in the morning when the war started, and we were living right by the road. And we woke up from the noise of the tanks driving on the road. It was Ukrainian tanks going to the front to protect Ukraine.
На тих танках сиділо дуже багато людей, хлопців наших молоденьких. І моя сестра каже, Аня, вони всі їдуть на смерть захищати Україну.
Our warriors were going to die to protect Ukraine for us.
Я приїхала сюди зі своєю сестричкою Оксаною і Машою.
I came here with my two sisters, Оксана and Маша.
Вони жили біля Бахмута на Софіївській Борщагівці 20 хвилин.
They live 20 minutes away from me on the same street.
І вони приймали з Бахмута Ірпіня. Благодать церкви людей, яких привозили з Ірпіня, з Бахмута, людей, які сиділи 13 днів без води і їди.
And thanks to the support of the local church, her sisters were able to accept children from the front lines that they were without food and water for 13 days.
Вони спускали з батарей воду, щоб хоч якось вижити. подвалах.
They were in the basements and they would drain the water from the heating system so that they could survive somehow.
І коли біля їхнього дому, коли вони виходили з церкви, буквально одна хвилина біля їхнього дому полетіли осколки від ракет. Всі машини стали чорні, і другий, третій поверх остався без вікон.
And where my sisters were living, about not too far from the house, there was rockets flying, and all the shrapnel from the rockets destroyed all the windows from the second and third story.
І тоді була остання капля, коли нам тато сказав зібратися і поїхати в США.
And after that incident, my father would tell me, it's time for you guys to pack your bags and go to the U.S.
Я дякую Бога за США, що так прийняли. Тут мирно зараз і спокійно.
I thank God for U.S. that they accepted us and it's very quiet and peaceful here.
Are your parents still in Ukraine?
Да, мої батьки в Україні і мої молодші брати, сестри. Залишились семеро.
Yes, my parents are still in Ukraine and seven of my younger siblings are still in Ukraine as well.
So now, where are you here in the U.S. and tell us a bit about what you've been doing with Hope for Ukraine. I know you participated in that.
Я зараз в Вілморі, Кентакі. Так, ми їздили з церквою Ukrainian Pentecostal Church. Там в цій церкві понад 300 сімей з України.
Currently, I live in Wilmore, Kentucky, and yes, we did go with our church, Pentecostal church, to the camp, and currently in this church, there's about 300 families from Ukraine.
Я в захваті була про цей кемп. Це був благословений час. Було багато активності, прогулянок. Ми каталися на скоростних машинках, на канатах, на канатних доріжках, молилися, слухали старших, слухали Слово Боже, вони нас навчали. Було мирненько, спокійно.
A great experience for me, and we went out and did different activities. We went out and drove different cars around, meaning in a park that they took us to, and did zip lining there, and also spent time with the elders of the church and reading the Bible and doing services together.
What did it do for you personally, given the experience you're going through, and maybe being able to be around others that are also in a similar situation?
Ми якщо забулися трошки, що там відбувається.
For a moment, it felt like we forgot completely about what was happening in Ukraine.
Ми були всі в кругу як сім'ї.
It felt as if we were all together, one big family.
Did it help to have others to be connected with that are experiencing only something a child or from Ukraine can understand?
Да, воно дуже допомагає розгрузитися, розслабитися.
Yes, it helps a lot just to take the load off your shoulders and relax a little around the same people.
То я не одна така, що мене розуміють, підтримують, моляться.
To know the fact that I'm not the only one that's been through that experience, and there's different people around me that've been through it and understand me, and they could pray for me and support me.
Я дякую Богу за цей кемп, що я не одна була, що ми могли поспілкуватися.
Thank God for this camp that there was people like me there and I was able to communicate with them and share my story with them.
What comes next for you with school, your studies, your future?
Я хочу йти вчитися в коледж, вивчити англійську мову.
I want to go to college and study English.
What's the message you'd like people to know about you, your experience, and what Ukrainians are going through right now?
До українців чи до Америки?
До Америки.
Що в Україні стан не легший. Там страшні знущання з українців. Там вбивають невинних людей і дітей.
I would want to let everybody know that in Ukraine it's not getting better. It's getting worse. Innocent kids and people are dying and being tortured.
Треба молитися і допомагати українцям ще більше.
We need to pray and help a lot more, help the Ukrainians.
Will you stay here now? Do you hope to go back someday?
Я би хотіла би остатись в США, але хочеться поїхати в гості в Україну до батьків, до братів.
I would like to stay in the U.S. for the rest of my life, but I would like to go to Ukraine and visit my parents and siblings.
That was 23-year-old Anna, who fled to safety in the U.S. from her home in the Rivne region of northern Ukraine after Russia's invasion. And that'll do it for us today. Just to let you know, this will be our last Flashpoint Ukraine program. For more on Ukraine and news from around the world, visit us anytime at voanews.com. And please join us for our weekday Flashpoint podcasts and international edition Monday through Friday. From all of us here at VOA, we thank you so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Lori London.